get what you missed on Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.
All right, what's making news around the globe, Ru?
Well, the wealth of Aussies love when this comes out every year. See who's making cash and see who's losing it. Mm-hmm. Good old Gina's way back up on top of the iron ore price that's risen in the last 12 months. A little bit out of the blue too. I think they didn't think it was going to come up, but Gina's up to $19.4 billion.
Wow,
she sits clearly nearly double.
Is she the richest woman in the world?
She may be.
I think she is.
She may be. She may be. She's on 19.4. Property developer from Sydney, I think, Harry Triggerboff, 11 bill.
Trigger.
Andrew Twiggy Forrest, another iron ore man. He's 7.4 billion, so he's had a big year. Frank Lowy, who we know from the shopping centre, 7.2 billion. Anthony Pratt from Visi Board, who makes all the cardboard boxes, he's 5.7 billion. John Gandel, 5.2 billion. I haven't heard of John.
No, don't know him.
Haven't heard of Vivek Shard Sengal. He's 4.8. Lindsay Fox, the trucking magnate, who we know about from Melbourne. He's 4.1 billion. James Packer is down to 3.9 billion. Now, he's been worth more than double that. He's in the woes a bit, James. In fact, when he took over from his dad, way back more than 10 years ago, he was worth a lot more than that as well. So I think that issue over in Macau or China has really taken its toll on casinos in general, not going as well. So he's slipped right down. He's been the richest man in Australia, richest person in Australia three times as well since he's taken over. So, yeah, he's way off.
So John Gandel, property in Melbourne, mainly shopping centres, where he made his fortune. Well,
property in Melbourne and Sydney is going through the roof, isn't it? So Gina's going well.
And Harry Triggerboff is known as High-Rise Harry.
High-Rise Harry, Mr. Apartments.
He builds high-rises in Sydney.
High-Rise Harry, that's a corker. I'd love that. Here comes High-Rise Harry. Hey, Harry, got an apartment for me to rent? Got a mate coming down on the weekend. Yeah, no worries, mate.
Hey, this is sad, or big, big story. Neighbours in strife. Yeah.
About bloody time.
33rd year it's going into production. Hey, do you know it employs 150 Australians? It's a big industry.
That's good.
But the UK, they're struggling with their contract with the UK. It's always been bigger in the UK than it is here. They have a fascination with Aussies. And it goes back to, you know, Kylie Minogue. That's where she cut her teeth. Kylie started in Neighbours.
No, there's
and
a, lot,
Jason
of,
Donovan,
a lot of people got their start in Neighbours.
Delta Goodrum.
Yeah.
Who else? Some big names. Natalie Bassingthwaite, did she come out of Neighbours?
Holly Valance.
Yeah, but certainly Kylie would be the most world famous. But the Brits love
did you
Neighbours.
Say Craig McLaughlin, was he there?
Oh, yeah, check one, two. He came out of there as well. Yeah. Guy Pearce, Hollywood actor.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about Neighbours and Home and Away, I know a couple of big, tough, burly, mad footballers that would go to football training back in the country. And record it.
Oh, no. Don't tell me your dad watches this as well.
Not my dad.
Bold and
I'm
beautiful.
I'm not going to say this bloke's name.
No, you have to
he
now.
He owns a pub in the country.
You have to now.
And AJ Adios from the Swan Reach Hotel, stuff, yeah. He used to record it, and he's mad as a cat snake, this bloke, but he'd record it when he went to footy training, him and his housemate, who's equally as mad, and they'd get home and they'd watch it. That is...
You've got to be joking. Oh, gee.
That's true.
Can't believe it. Look, everyone's got their own taste. It is shocking TV,
and it's lasted
33 years.
It's, some people like that sort of stuff, and well, Neighbours, but you're not around 33 years in prime time for no reason.
All right, what about this young DeGoey at Collingwood Road? Surprise, surprise.
Oh,
he didn't break his hand feeding the dog or whatever he tried to say.
That's the second year in a row Collingwood players have had that after Jeremy Howe last year said he injured himself throwing the frisbee with the dog. But it was a bit fishy, this story, wasn't it?
So he's punched someone at a party.
Yeah, it was his 21st. He was out, got in the blue, and broke his hand. So that is very believable because probably a few Aussie blokes have done that, whereas the dog story just didn't stack up.
No. And anything happened in your day similar?
Well, I have got a tendon on my right hand that was... done up at Wake Creek in the very same circumstances. And I think I had a picture in the advertiser. I was in hospital with my arm up in the air, out for 3 months in Robert Shaw's era.
Mm-hmm. And what did you tell the club?
Broke it on a dip platter. I broke it on a
what?
On a bowl, like on a bowl where you have your chips or dips. Yeah, I said I punched.
Just went for the biscuit a bit aggressively.
Yeah,
you?
A little bit hard. I was a bit hungry.
And you thought you'd get away with that?
Ah, well, I got away with it. They didn't question me, but yeah, that was so. Yeah, no, it does happen
a dip
out there.
Platter.
Yeah. I can remember
idiot.
Waking up on a Sunday morning in
Wakery. I went for the Jats, and I went to pick it up, and oh, gee, it hurt.
I woke up on a Sunday morning. Raging hangover, and Dad leaning over me saying, "You've got to go to hospital in Adelaide." And I went, "Beauty."
Yeah.
Drove down to Adelaide and got the older hand sewn up, and away she goes. So
yeah.
I know what it's like, Jordan. I think plenty of people out there make up stories about, you know, just save their job and stuff, don't they, Dits?
Yeah, definitely.
You would have lied many times.
God, which one do you want?
Exactly.
Right, where do we start?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not.
I feel for the lad. I feel for the lad.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
The Governor General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, yes, I always tense up for this segment every week. Ru, I love getting this man on the show.
Well, he'd be a bit pumped up at the moment, the Big Mal. Good morning, Big Mal.
Good morning to you, Ru. Good morning to you, Dits. It's always a pleasure speaking to you guys.
Bounce back in the polls this week.
Well, I'm right up and about. Not only am I bouncing back in the polls, but I'm on the front of the Australian newspaper today. There it says, PM Crusades for Free Speech. I'm really the guy at the moment. But I did get a bit of a bump in the polls, and immediately I thought, I'm going to make a night of this. So I cooked Mary Lucinda Turnbull, or Lucinda Mary Turnbull, I get her name right, a beef bourguignon, and I matched it with a Bordeaux, and as it turns out, I got a bump in the polls on Monday night.
Good on you, big
anyway,
fella.
It's all about hydro at the moment, isn't it?
That's,
all I have to keep saying is hydro, and I'm not talking about some guy out in Elizabeth with a crop under lights in his spare room.
No.
I just have to keep relaunching things that have already been made. The hydro scheme wasn't my idea, and I'm getting a bump in the polls.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should put a bridge across the harbour. And what about old Josh Frydenberg? He was handed his bum by your premier, Jay Weatherall. And you do have to feel sorry for a man going bald in five different places. I know you're sensitive about that, Roo.
I shaved it off, Big Mal.
What you've got to do now, shave down.
Shave down. Hey, you snuck into Melbourne for Adele on Sunday, my little resources tell me.
Well, haven't you got your ear to the ground? That is very good intel. I took Lucy down there. We really enjoy our music. And I was bopping along there. There's a fire starting in my heart. yes, I love that. I don't know what rolling in the deep is, though.
No.
I mean, what does that mean? Do you have any idea, Dits, what rolling in the deep
well,
is?
Well, a little bit deep
sexual?
In itself. No, a little bit deep, really. Yeah.
Yes.
Deep That's under right, the we... deep under the covers of the doona or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Like a bit of a Dutch oven.
could be that.
We could have had it all.
yeah.
Oh,
our Prime Minister doing fart jokes.
She's a massive unit. She really pumps it out, Adele. mind you, there was something romantic happened on Sunday night. Two gay men proposed to one another, and I just want to take this opportunity to remind them it's illegal. It's still illegal, so back in your boxes.
you're not going to change your stance on that one, are you, Big Mal?
Well, I've always been pro-marriage equality in all seriousness, but there are people in my party room that don't want to see it. So we'll see how it goes. Let's go to war over 18C first.
Yes.
But let's not get this segment too bogged down in actual politics.
No.
Let's talk some footy, eh?
Yeah.
That's what we're good at. Are you excited
Absolutely.
About the start of the footy season?
Of course I am, because, Roo, it's my opportunity to look like a regular guy in the street. You know, I go along to the football, I'm told to barrack for the Roosters, and go on, guys, do a try and a conversion. when footy season comes around, you know, I barrack for the Sydney Swans, and my speechwriter has given me a nice little analogous speech here, you know. politics is like football. It's 1 week at a time. It's about sacrificing yourself for your mates. It's about in and under and the one percenters. And it's about not voting for Tit Shorten because he's a communist and he's got a head like an alien. Little political message at the end there, but I just want to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just sneak it in.
Look, enjoy the footy this weekend, Big Val. We'll talk soon.
Good on you, and I just want to say the Triple M rocks Burton and the AFLW Crows. Go, girl.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, Mal. Well
good
done.
On you, Big Mal.
Right, next, pressure test. Ring now, 133353.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants, and as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove. For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, we're raring to go. I can smell the liniment. Look at him. He's coming out. Fit is he? Jackson Trengove. Good morning.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good. You're going to play forward? You're going to play back? You're going to go in the ruck? What are you doing?
Oh, Dits, I'm not quite sure, to be honest myself.
Come on. Yeah,
Ken come to me early.
Dits is dreaming about you.
Yeah.
Ken come to me early last week and said I was playing one position. Then he come to me yesterday and said, nah, scrap that. I'm going back to the other one. So I'm sort of waiting myself.
Confused.
And
so he has got two plans.
He's got a couple of plans up his sleeve, but I'm not exactly sure what he's going with yet.
I'm commentating in my sleep at the moment. I'll be up at the SCG this weekend. I'm raring to go. You've kicked four in the first quarter, Jacko.
If I kick four, I'll be very happy. But it's all exciting. Round one's obviously a big thing for everyone. I think the boys are excited, commentators are excited, the supporters are excited. Yeah.
It's going to be a bog track up there. Lots of rain being had up in Sydney, and more rain today. Another 15 mils today, and then raining every day. It'll be a heavy track. So. How are you going, the heavy conditions? You've been training much in the rain, or is it going to be sort of a bit foreign for you?
Oh, we haven't had a lot of rain in Adelaide, but, it's a winter sport, so you're used to the rain. Obviously, Sydney thrive in those conditions. They're a contested team, which we're going to have to match no matter whether it's dry or wet. So, obviously, that's going to go through the roof. Our mids are going to be heavily relied on to win the ball out of the centre against some of their star midfielders who love the crash and bash game, and that's something that we'll have to match them with. Otherwise, we'll be in a bit of strife.
What do you do for milestone games in Port Adelaide? Does Ken like to, play some footage of, Travis Boak this week, for instance, 200th game. Will you have a little video session beforehand about all the good things he's done, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's normally done the night before. So we get together at the team meeting this week. Obviously, we're travelling, so it'll be done at the hotel. Travel get a bit of a talking to in front of the group, and then obviously we'll show the vision of his career highlights, which obviously there's going to be plenty of. He's a star, and we look forward to hopefully winning in his 200th game.
Power Pepper will be in. He'll be absolutely perfect for this bog track.
He'll be at the bottom of every pack, I would have thought. Him and Ollie, side by side.
Yeah, I think that's a nice combo. I think
I don't reckon there's a bigger, stronger combo in the AFL, is there? For midfield, is that Ollie, what does he weigh at the moment, honestly?
I'd be 92, 93
he'd be
kilos.
At least that. He'd have to be heavier than that.
He'd be around that mark, and Peps wouldn't be far off.
Dits is 108.
I haven't dropped any. What are you talking about?
No, they're too
we'd
big
be
men.
Heavier combo, Dits. <That's right. laughs> We might get stuck in the mud, though. Like a couple of pigs.
They're very big and powerful, and that's what we're looking forward to. And obviously against Sydney, we need to match them in that area. So those two are going
to
be
speaking of Ollie Wines, I just need to question you on something here. Now, I was just scrolling through Twitter on Sunday night looking for articles, stories to make our show better. It was a quiet moment. I come across Ollie Wines, 6:13 Sunday night. Just listen to this. Dits, I'll speak slowly. You're going to try and analyse what this means, all right? And all Port Adelaide supporters listening. Oh, this is Ollie. Blows my mind every day knowing there's as many stars out there as grains of sand on Earth. Hashtag astronomy. Right? Now,
pretty self-explanatory.
Right, now, why are you gather your thoughts on that?
Your average Port Adelaide footballer right there.
Gather your thoughts on that. These are a couple of the tweets that come back from people. Bozza said, blows my mind knowing that there are AFL players that still can't kick or handball the football. A stat like that makes you feel so irrelevant, kind of like the last two seasons at Alberton.
Oh, get out.
How ruthless is that?
Oh,
so a bit of fun out there, but is he a bit of a deep thinker, Ollie? A boy from Echuca on the river,
yeah.
God. That's a 1 a.m. tweet, not a 6 p.m. on a Sunday tweet.
I reckon Wiles got caught up. He went fishing with the lads on the beach. They stayed on the sand over the weekend, obviously had the weekend off. So I reckon maybe Gussie might have fed him a bit of information and he's just rolled along with that. It's probably a myth. Gee, that
not a bit of Brokeback Mountain going on there, is
there? Well, there was 11 of them, so it's a big Brokeback Mountain, mate, if it was. But, I think it was a nice camping trip. The boys got down there, did a bit of fishing and just took it easy.
On Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengrove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengrove. For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Righto, Jacko, very important player for us, Roo, this year. Jackson Trengove, as we saw
Mr.
last year.
Mr. Versatile.
Yeah, Mr. Versatile.
Mr.
There you go.
Courageous.
And
Mr. Team Man.
And best at hardball gets in the end. Unbelievable.
Mr. Clearance.
Clearances, everything.
Hey, Mr. Adele.
Mr. Adele.
Loved Adele.
How did Adele
Hey,
go?
Was it good?
It was a very good concert. Yeah, I think, what did they get there, 65,000 or something like that? No, it was ridiculously good. She sung really well. I reckon I could sit in a pub with her for a few hours and just have a couple of beers. I think that'd be more entertaining
with Adele.
Than a concert. Yeah.
She seems like a bit
she
of a...
She would tell some stories, I reckon.
Yeah.
They said she was a good yarns. Chat in between songs.
Yeah, she doesn't mind a yarn, and I think she gets a little bit nervous and just decides to carry on with her talks. But, yeah, I reckon a few beers later, I reckon you can get some good stories out of her.
Righto. Now, we got Tex Walker to do his top eight yesterday.
Let's Dits go is going to do yours. It tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, what's yours, Jacko?
In no order, I've got GWS,
yep.
Port Adelaide, Crows.
No order's right.
Sydney, West Coast. Mm-hmm. Bulldogs, Geelong and St Kilda. Missing out,
ooh.
I've got Hawthorn.
Hang on, Hawthorn.
Yeah, I think just
now, Tex didn't have Hawthorn either.
The end of the ooh. Era is over.
I just think with the quality of players that they've lost, I'm not sure whether they'll be able to fill that in. Obviously, they got Mitchell from Sydney, but...
And O'Meara. Yeah.
O'Meara as well, but they lost Jordan Lewis, I think, is a big barometer in their era that they had. And
leader.
Also Sam Mitchell, who was influential as well, so... they'll miss out. I think Melbourne will be pretty close, but and also Richmond will be around the mark. I've got down
Richmond
the
will be around the mark. Well, they usually are.
They normally are around the mark. And I think
put them in for ninth again.
Would
finish ninth every year.
You got the Kangaroos out too.
Kangaroos out and Carlton to finish bottom for mine.
Bottom,
yeah, bottom.
Or
Brisbane.
Strife.
You reckon Carlton?
I think Carlton are in strife.
Yep.
Now, you said you left Melbourne out, but so did you deliberate between Melbourne and St Kilda?
Yeah, I think Melbourne and St Kilda will be fighting for a spot. And
the two improvers.
I think they're both around the same mark. I think their development's really good. Obviously, last year, both teams come on. They've had strong pre-seasons. I think Melbourne get two players back with Jake Melsham and another Essendon player, Gibber, off the back line. And
get Lewis in.
Lewis as well, yeah, that's a massive get. And then I think St Kilda have got a number of players who are going to step up, also get
Carlo
back Jake Carlo,
back
who
them.
I think is huge for them in the back line.
They play each other this week, it's, as a matter of fact,
first round.
At Eddie Head, which probably favours St Kilda a little
good
bit.
Good game. Hey, Jacko, just getting away from footy for a moment. Now, you've been seen driving around with, most people have four doors in their car, you've got three. What happened? You're Touareg.
Yeah, air conditioning.
The old Volkswagen Touareg. Yeah, I was backing out of the car. I had the partner in the back seat, just mucking around with my daughter, just getting her all settled. I thought she'd had the door closed and we're ready to take off for our dinner. Little did I know that the door was still open, and next minute I've started reversing without her telling me that
it
was
off its hinges.
It's off the hinges.
Well played.
And, she quickly grabbed my daughter out of the car, put her in the pram because she knew I blew up.
Was there a bit of a finger pointing going on?
No.
In the end, we settled with 50-50.
But,
at one stage, I was 97-3, her fault. After she walked down the beach for about an hour or two, come back, I was settled and
sorry,
it was all good.
Love. Sorry, but, love. It was probably my fault.
A couple of sorrows, it was my fault.
We'll just call it 50-50, hey?
There's always insurance, that's what I said.
Hey, what about Jordan DeGoey tried to make up a story to get over his injury from being in the blue? Any stories down at Port Adelaide about it?
Never tell lies at Port Adelaide.
No.
Never.
No.
We don't mark up.
There you go. So,
no, interesting one, that one. It was didn't look good when the coach came out and said it, and then obviously
fishy.
Backtracked. But Kane Corns was a master at having a couple of excuses.
Kane Corns. I thought squeaky clean,
yeah.
Kane Corns.
He was tell us more.
He was a master. And Russell Ebert used to round up the troops for CYP, which is a community youth program, which you give up your time to help out kids out in the public. And Kane used to always say to Russ that his budgie was crook. And
he's what?
He reckons he had a budgie.
Oh,
and he
no.
used to say...
How do you DNR for budgies, Crook?
Well, I think when it's dead, it's
when it's dead. Yeah, well, if it's dead, it's worse for Crook.
And Russ said that he could bring him to his vet and he'd fix the budgie for him.
So yeah, so I can imagine.
You can imagine what Russ
technique. Russ would do there. He wouldn't be big on vet fees.
No.
Not
no.
for a budgie.
not from the Riverland, Russ.
He'd turn into a vet, I think, Russ.
Hey, Jacko, thanks for coming in, mate. All the best this week against Sydney at the SCG. Big assignment round one, but I reckon you're getting them at the right time. And look, if you can carry the form in from what you did against Hawthorn a couple of weeks ago, you're going to be okay. So good luck, Jacko.
I appreciate it, boys, and obviously looking forward to round one.
What is the right time? How have you come up with that?
Because
you don't know how good they are yet.
No, Drew, I've already explained this to you. If I'm going too fast for you, Sydney trained for 1 month less than everyone else because they went right through in the final. So they get a month less. And we've seen this with teams in years gone by that they always start one, two, three rounds a bit slower.
Yep.
And in fact, GWS tailed them up about 2 years ago in a big, big way because they'd missed out on training.
You should be doing special
comments. So Western Bulldogs this week. See how they go.
You reckon Collingwood will beat them?
Well, I'm just saying, they're a month behind. What are they? Is it 6 weeks, Jacko, if you're in the grand final?
I think it is 6 weeks. I mean, we come back early November, so there is a month of period, but these teams are as good as you get, so it's they can make up the difference pretty
I'm
quickly.
With you, so I reckon you're getting them at the right time.
Oh, I think I should write that down. Bloody hell, he agreed with it. Jacko, good luck, mate.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Comwire IT, Jackson Trengove.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
7.13, Ruined It's for Breakfast on this Wednesday morning. Doing it all for Adelaide Tools. Just a reminder about the big car park sale at Paraka this weekend.
Absolutely huge on Saturday or Sunday. Get out there if you want a good deal.
Now, Roo, front page story today, it's about fish oil. They're talking about pregnant women. This is in the Advertiser today. Mm-hmm. They've done a study, a university study, over 2,000 women. And they've come up with the fact that fish oil doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't make them smarter or anything like that. And whether you're a baby or whether you're 7 years old.
Well, they've all been conned. Women have been told that if you take fish oil during pregnancy, your child will have a higher IQ.
But we've been told that. We've also been told it's good for your old joints.
Your joints
and all that as well, Diz. Because
your
joints,
down people,
you would have swallowed a fish oil tablet at some stage.
I actually haven't, believe it or not.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Well, I swallowed a few.
And then there's glucosamine. I don't know if any of these things work. However, they're being slammed. Over my journey, though, I'll tell you what I have taken. A thing called St. John's wort. I've got no idea why I took that. Someone told me to take it. I don't know what it does.
That was for your knee, Diz.
What was that for?
I don't know. But anyway.
The other one I took was I had upset tummy for quite a while, like an irritable bowel thing. I got told to take charcoal tablets.
Charcoal?
Don't know what that did. I would have made a good fire, I suppose. I don't know. The other ones. Look, when you're my complexion.
Flaxseed oil?
Flaxseed oil. What does that do?
Not sure. No. But I took that for a while.
Righto. Oh, good.
I've had, remember having a little bit of vitamin C and a bit of zinc. We discussed this earlier in the show.
Just I've taken vitamin C.
Yeah, just to try and ward off any colds or flus in the middle of winter.
The other one that a lot of people get told to take by doctors, I think this one's Ridgy Didge, but I don't know really, iron tablets. If you're deficient in iron, a lot of anemic
people
for example.
People who don't eat much meat.
Yeah. Vegetarians take iron tablets.
Yeah, very smart bloke takes echinacea for colds. He reckons that just knocks it on the head straight away.
Right.
You know, and I know. Look, it's a massive industry. Swiss vitamins, which we've all heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ads on TV using sports people that we all know. Its market cap or value of its company went through the roof to the point where the Chinese bought it for $1.6 billion, I think they paid for it.
But they got prosecuted as well, Swiss. In fact, a couple of times. And got told to change their advertising.
Change the way they advertise, because there's no proof that their supplements work, but they've now marketed different. It hasn't stopped them at all. In fact, since that happened two or three years ago. It's going through the roof. I mean, you see in the lift out of the papers on the weekend, I think the Sunday Mail, about three pages of supplements or more, a little booklet that chemist companies put out with the supplements. Blackmores, I mean, their value on the stock market has gone through the roof. People are happy to take that risk that it may be working for them, because the downside is that it's not working for them and they're just weighing it down their money down the drain. But there's heaps of people who would say, well, I reckon it actually does work for me. It's doing something because I feel better and, you know, my knee's not as painful or, you know, I just feel a little bit less tired or, yeah. Maybe they want to believe it. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think there might be a little bit of that.
Placebo effect. Now, I'm keen to hear about this. 133353. What do you take that actually does do something? Because I name the three or four that I've taken in my lifetime, and I might as well have taken a glass of water. Seriously. Nothing happened.
There has to be people out there that believe it works. We can't have a multi-billion dollar industry on people that don't believe in what they're putting down their mouth.
Things, I mean, glucosamine, don't you grow shark cartilage or something after a while in your knees? Or isn't that what it's meant to do?
Yeah, look, not sure on that one, but there's... Mm. Let's hear it. 133353. Give us a call. We've got tickets to the Adelaide Crows v GWS game this
that's big.
Sunday afternoon at Adelaide Oval, round one against the Premiership favourites.
104.7 Triple M.
What vitamins or supplements do you take, and tell us what they do for you?
Yeah, let's give us a buzz. Let's go to Plymouth. G'day, Barry.
Morning, gents.
What do you take, Barry?
Well, at the moment, I'm taking liquid fish oil.
Okay.
I took fish oil tabs and chondroitin and glucosamine for about a year.
What for? What was the problem?
Knees, bad arthritis with the knees and that sort of the joints.
Have you had operations on your knees?
No, I just stopped playing sport because of the problem. But since changing to the liquid fish oil, I've been able to go back to the gym and go light jogging, but it's been a massive improvement.
Who recommended you take the liquid fish oil?
I just saw some articles in the media and did some of my own research online and decided to give that a go since the other supplements weren't working.
Yep, and it's made a big difference, has it?
It has for me. The other massive side effect is that I suffered from hay fever for many years.
Right.
Since taking the liquid fish oil, I have virtually had no symptoms of hay fever for the last 3 years.
Wonder what the science is behind that.
But you smell like tuna.
Do you smell like fish?
The downside. There's always a downside.
No, that's good. Good on you, Barry. That's a good story. If it's doing that for you,
Let's go to Beulah Park. G'day, Phil.
Hello, fellas. How are you going?
Good thanks, Phil.
What do you take?
I take what's called Liprinol. It's a Blackmores product, which is green lip muscle oil.
Green lip muscle.
This is one for you. Dips, you'd be good at this. It's Phil Rogers on the phone, just quietly.
Oh, Phil. Fabulous, Phil. Good
swimmer.
Swimmer. Breaststroker.
Cool, righto. Yeah. Good stuff,
That's
Phil.
Fine.
So has it worked for you?
Yeah, it does. It works. The science behind it, which I know a little bit about, I don't know a lot about, but green lip muscle oil, which come from New Zealand, it's basically like a fish oil, except a bit more supercharged. It gets into your joints. So if you've got any sort of osteoarthritis or anything like that, it does work a bit better. Some of your fish oil tablets, you might as well just go and actually eat three oily fish meals a day. Like, I mean, it's some of your salmons and all that sort of thing. You might as well actually go and have a salmon meal as opposed to having fish oil tablets. But I'm a bit short on going to the shops and buying green lip muscles, so it's not a bad product to sort of get hold of.
Is it tablet form or is it actual oil?
No, it's a tablet form, which has got an oil in the tablet, but it's due to help muscle soreness for athletes.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of clinical studies on that, and so if you're actually an athlete and you're trying to recover from session after session, this stuff's pretty good, Liprinol. If you've got any osteoarthritis, it's meant to help with that. There's even been a study on kids with ADHD, and it's meant to help them with that, which I know none of the science behind that, but there's science around that basis as well, which is another aspect to it again.
Phil, as an Olympic swimmer, I would have thought you were exposed to all sorts of things over the years. And I don't mean illicit, but you would have had coaches surely that said, oh, you better take this or take that. I mean, did you take a heck of a lot of supplements?
No, not really. I had a sports physiologist back when I was at the Australian Institute of Sport. So you're talking early 1990s. That said to me back then, he said, "Nah, it's expensive urine. That's what you're putting into your body." Right. He said, "You go and buy all the vitamins and all the nutrients and all the supplements and all that sort of stuff." And that's effectively what you're doing. You're getting expensive urine back. It doesn't help. If your diet is completely inadequate and woeful, then somewhere along the line, it might have some sort of benefit to it. But, I mean, it's ridiculous when they say that they can pack, 50 or 60 different nutrients into a tiny little tablet. Yeah. But it's just one of those those things that they've evolved. People have got behind them, and the industry's gone north, as you were talking about earlier. But you know, the science behind it is that it there's no clinical studies to say that any of that sort of any of the multivitamins and all that sort of stuff work.
Yeah.
The one that I take, I reckon's got a bit of benefit to it, only because I just think it works. It works for me.
Oh.
I've got a dodgy back.
Yep.
So since I've been taking that stuff, it seems to be better than what it was. But that's a fish oil tablet. Like I said, yep. I think the fish oil stuff has got some merit to it. Mm. But the multivitamins and other forms of vitamins, it's only a matter of what your diet's like as to whether it's going to be any good. Otherwise, it's all going out the bottom end. So
down the end, yeah. All right, good on you. There's a man who knows, Olympic swimmer, 2-time bronze medalist through at the Olympic Games, Phil Rogers.
Very good. Let's go to Elizabeth. G'day, Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Jess.
Yeah, I'm on vitamin D at the moment, and I have been for quite a while. Yeah. And it started off with getting tests from the doctors.
Yep.
And I was quite deficient.
Okay. Yep.
And what does vitamin D do for you?
You're supposedly supposed to get it from the sun, but apparently some people's bodies just don't process it like normal, and it doesn't store the vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did do a lot of testing, and they tested it when I was on it, and my levels went above what they were supposed to be, so they asked if I'd stop. But when I stop, they drop all the way back down again.
Okay.
Right.
So it goes under the acceptable limit. So obviously the
supplements you have half your dose?
Are working. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good on you, Jess.
And you feel better when you take it and get it right?
Yeah, I do. And the difference being, obviously, I can't go back and test now, but when I had my first child, my son, he was born extremely jaundiced, and nothing I could do was helping. And I was breastfeeding, and he just apparently the doctors are saying now he probably just wasn't getting the vitamin D and wasn't born with the vitamin D that I did because I didn't have any. But my daughter's fine.
Oh, good on you.
Well, boys will suck the life out of you. Don't worry about that. Little buggers.
Let's go to Andrew at Gawler. Hello, Andrew.
How we going, gentlemen?
Good, Andrew. What can you tell us?
Look, mate, it's not me, but my wife swears by the breastfeeding and pregnancy tablet, or vitamins.
Yeah.
She's been taking them, seems like now, for about 8 years. We're up to child number 4.
Mm.
And she swears by them. She doesn't take them for a few days, especially while she's breastfeeding. But, so the 3 days she says she starts to feel flat and drained and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, if it's working during that period of your life, you might as well keep going.
Mm. All right. Last caller.
Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Mel.
How you going?
Good, thanks, Mel. What do you take?
I was taking Ginkgo because I have a terrible memory.
What did you take? What was it?
Ginkgo.
Yep.
Yeah. Meant to help your memory, and I took it for a while, but then I forgot to take it.
Oh, come on, Mel. You put a reminder on your phone or something. That's what I do.
Oh, now, Mel, Jeez, if we give you tickets to the footy, Mel, will you remember to go? Will you remember to get the tickets on Sunday?
Or you want us to pick you up?
Absolutely. It's
a
Crows, of course.
Right. Stay on the line, Mel. That was good.
Actually, Mel's got a few issues.
Taf Rashid is listening this morning. This is similar. Taf Rashid was so busy and now works for tourism. Used to work at the Port Adelaide Football Club. The first woman to work in the media in the AFL, so a very high achiever. And she went to a course about time management. And what do you know? She was late. She did. She went to one of these courses to organise your life better. Turned up late. There you go.
Good on you, Hataf.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. 8:26 it is. Roo, the West Coast Eagles story, I think most of us know about this, but a Gillard report. Not Julia Gillard, but a retired High Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
Did a major investigation into this, going back to 2006. Now, stuff came out yesterday. He was very damning about John Worsfold, the coach at the time, Trevor Nisbet, the CEO. A lot of people have had their say. Let's hear from our very own Damien Barrett.
I've sort of wavered on my views of Trevor Nisbet over the journey. It's interesting to note that he's been made an AFL Life member since this particular saga, you know, burst out into the public domain. And you speak to him and you do get sympathetic and empathetic with what he went through. It was a time when football industry was not used to and aware of this drug element coming into it. So you also factor in the lies. You know, when he sits Ben Cousins down and he sits other players down and asks them, and they just lie to him. So you factor all that in. But ultimately, it's on his watch. And we see today that lives have been damaged as a result of it. And ultimately, it was with, you know, a semi-collusion of the football club to where we've got to this situation with this matter today.
Legend of the game, Kevin Bartlett, very scathing of John Worsfold yesterday. Barry Hall, front page of the Herald Sun in Melbourne today. He played for Sydney, was captain of Sydney, said that their premiership's tainted.
Yep.
Now, this affected your club in 2006.
Well, it did affect our club. We played West Coast in that prelim when Benny Cousins played a brilliant second half and come from behind and knock off the Crows. But I'm certainly not suggesting Ben Cousins took anything at half time like a lot of people have had it look like he had, because he played so brilliantly and outrun Nathan Van Berlo, who was the best runner probably the Crows have ever had. But I don't think he took anything at half time. I think he just played a brilliant second half. But some people are saying they should be stripped of their Premiership Cup.
What do you think of that?
I don't think they should be at all. I think tainted is a word that Barry Hall, someone might have planted in his mouth, sort of thing. If they said, was it tainted, Barry? And he said, well, probably. But you would have to agree it is, because we're talking about it now. And that, I guess that means it's tainted or tarnished, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But none of them were tested positive, even to illicit drugs that we know of. Right, and even if they were, there's no one out there is saying that illicit drugs are performance enhancing anyway. That is speculation about whether that's the case. And in fact, if it was proven that it was performance enhancing, they would be banned. And they're not. They're used at the moment. It's a different system that you're tested for. So you can't take it away for something, A, they haven't even been caught doing, and B, it's not even performance enhancing.
Haven't been caught doing, but let's not be blind to the fact that Chris Mainwaring lost his life.
Yeah, Daniel Chick is in all sorts of trouble.
No, but through that period, though, it was systematic. We know that Daniel Chick has got his problems. Ben Cousins certainly got his problems.
Yep.
Chad Fletcher has had serious
nearly
problems.
Nearly OD'd in Vegas,
And there are others. They're, you know, they're ongoing. I mean, it's quite widespread.
Absolutely. But once again, at that time, the illicit drugs weren't, they're not performance enhancing. So how can you say it's, how can you take the premiership off them?
What about Damien Barrett's comments about Trevor Nisbet? I don't want you to talk about Trevor Nisbet personally.
I don't know Trevor Nisbet. So I know he's been the CEO for a long, long time. He is highly respected. All I would say for people out there looking back in hindsight, you've been the president of a soccer club.
Yep.
You know, when you've been in charge of something and you're the number one man, you know how hard it is to make decisions. It's so much easier. Hindsight's so much easier than in the moment when you're the man in charge. And as Damien Barrett said there, this was in an era where CEOs, chairmen, coaches, even players weren't used to drugs in sport.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new thing for them. They're acting as they go, day by day, they're learning as they go, and they were trusting players, and obviously some of their players took advantage of that and lied to them.
I want to delve deep into this, Rue, again, without getting too personal, but you've been in that footy club situation where you know what's going on basically around that room. And what I mean by that is you mix socially weekends with a lot of players and wives, and in the end, you make choices. You think, well, I'm not going to go to that bloke's party anymore because I know what goes on there and I don't like it. Wouldn't the same thing have happened at the West Coast Eagles? Because John Worsfold is coming out now and saying, well, we didn't know. Now, I'm sorry, but I find that very, very hard to take when he says that, because there are people in that change room like Chris Judd, like, you know, other clean players, if we could call them that, that would have, you know what your mates are up to, who's doing what and who isn't, who's towing the line, who's not.
And that happens in every sporting club. People go their own way into groups that do the same sort of things.
Mm.
Groups of the drinkers.
That's right.
Groups of the punters. Drug takers, groups of the punters, groups of people who like go mountain bike riding or something like that. You all go and do your own thing.
Yep.
That's no different in any football club. That absolutely happens, and you would know what most people are up to in their spare time. There'd be, out of your list of, you know, 40-odd players, I reckon there'd be less than two or three that you didn't know what they were doing.
Sure.
Of whatever they're doing, stamp collecting or whatever.
Righto. Let's hear from Chris Judd.
It's all been written before. We got through it 9 or 10 years ago, and, you know, there's no footy on the weekend, so it gets rehashed now. But there's nothing new in there, and you know, the way most people react is usually aligned with their own personal biases. If they don't like someone or don't like a particular club, they usually get fired up over. If it's someone they know and like or a club they follow, they usually go pretty soft on it. So people have their opinions.
Don't disagree with that.
It's very spot on what he's saying, but it doesn't condone everything that could happen. But what's happened at West Coast too, and this is would be interesting in what people thought, the end of 2007 when they got knocked out is when they come down super harsh on the club. They started potting players and getting rid of players and banning players when they got knocked out. It happened at the time where their run was over. Everyone could see that at West Coast. Juddy was going home. Cousins was gone. He'd had too many chances, few bits and pieces. It would have been extremely hard but super brave for them to cut it at 2005 or six. Would have cost them a premiership, but a lot of people would say, yeah, but it might have saved a couple of people's lives, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think it happened through that period and they had to let it go because all their very best players are the ones that have been bought up in it. Isn't it? Cousins and all those boys.
Gardner.
If they'd locked them out or banned them, they probably wouldn't have won those flags. So it would have been an extremely brave decision, but it may have been the right decision.
But then, final comment I'd put to you is that all we ever hear about in this game is culture and that the club's important and there's no I in team. And you hear all of those great cliches in this game that we love so much. None of it applied in that period.
They won a flag with
all costs.
With that culture that was maybe wrong.
Yeah.
And then they had to totally rebuild the club and they were out in the wilderness for several years. It took a huge amount of work to rebuild it. So yeah, it's a different one, isn't it?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
You too.
Oh, come to sing!
Triple M has your ticket to U2 Live at the Rose Bowl in LA.
Of America.
Righto, Roo, what's this all about?
We're going to send someone off to LA, to the Rose Bowl for Joshua Tree's 30th anniversary. This would be an unbelievable prize to win. And you can win by being a Triple M club member.
Yep.
And that's not hard to do. You just go to triplem.com.au if you're not already a member and join up. It's free. It's easy. And if you're on that list, we're going to read out three names every day. And the first person to ring from those three names will go on that standby list and give themselves a very, very good chance to go to LA on Triple M.
Gee, imagine that. All right, who are the three names today, Roo?
Today, we've got Neil Warburton from Morphett Vale. We've got Mark Mundy from Largs North. And we've got Kathy Byrne from Woodville West.
Righto,
give us a
first
call.
First one through, 133353.
Give us a buzz. Now, yesterday, Dits, while those people are going to ring in, we have had an extraordinary amount of feedback and wishes and demands.
About what?
That you tell your Bono joke.
Oh,
no,
you have not.
Alistair Wagg put it on Facebook yesterday. And in fact, our very own boss here, James, said, I was listening yesterday and I just wanted to hear the joke. He hadn't heard it. Now, he listens all the time. You panic about people.
I've said it 20 times.
No, you haven't because he listens all the time and he hasn't heard it. I had several mates say,
you're making this up.
Dits, get him to tell it.
Yeah, right.
All right. Look, now so
I'll put you out of your misery. This is the last time. This is as just, bad
it's
as
not for me. It's
this
for
is
the audience.
As bad as that is not your my dog, right? This is ridiculous.
That's not bad either. I want to hear that again soon.
No, well, that's not happening. Right, to the people out there that have heard this 20 times, I apologise. Right, this is me under pressure. I'm doing this
but
against my will.
But like you're telling it for the
it's,
first
it's
time.
Not
like,
a joke.
No one knows
this
it.
Actually happened. This is a real story.
Is it?
It's not a joke. So Bono's up on stage, as he does,
where?
Saving the world.
LA?
I can't remember, actually. I wasn't there. Someone relayed this to me.
Okay.
And he's up on stage, because he's about every cause in the world there's ever been, and he's going, his hands are high up, you're laughing already, his hands are way up over his head, he's going, every time I clap, another baby dies in Africa. And a bloke yelled out, well, stop effing clapping then. Right, you're satisfied now. Right. Sorry to everyone
that
out there that has
exactly it. Why we got you to do it again.
Righto, thank you. Move on.
Stop clapping then. Big Mouth coming up next.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:45 ruined its thanks to Adelaide Tools on this Wednesday morning. Now, I don't know about your parents, Roo, but mine didn't like it when you told pork pies.
Ooh.
In fact, I copped a hiding once, a big hiding in primary school because I told a lie to Wag School.
Yep.
And didn't sit down for a month.
Yep.
Don't
bit
lie.
Bruised.
But Jordan DeGoey at Collingwood, he's told a big one.
Jeez, you can't get away with it anymore. I know you know, when you're in that situation, you think, should I lie? Should I tell the truth? I don't want to deal with the truth, but I might be able to get away with it if I come up with a good lie.
Yeah.
And that's why they do it.
Yeah. You so what did he say? He said he had an accident with a dog or something.
Yeah, played with a dog. Went to throw a toy to the dog and clipped his hand on the door and broke his hand.
Right.
Even got the, I mean, the coach even told the same story, and you know, everyone was very sus on it, so it's not surprising. And he was in a crowded nightclub on the Friday night in a punch up, so
no dog
it was
in the
getting around. Was getting around that there could have been another story to this one.
All right, so he's come clean.
I've definitely lost some of the trust of the playing group, the coaching staff, and everyone who works at the club here. And so the next few months are going to be really important for me to just try and put my best foot forward, making sure I'm doing everything I can do to regain that trust.
Now, when did you lie about an injury, Roo?
Why did you say when? Why didn't you, why didn't you ask
sorry,
if I had?
Have you ever, sorry, Mark, have you ever lied about
maybe a couple of times.
Right.
One was the one we've already gone over on this show a couple of times. It was the Bamboo Man.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, I had an injury and I went and saw this. I was clutching at straws and I went to see this, the Chinese bloke who used to whack you with a bamboo stick. And I'm not exaggerating, thousands of times over the over your whole body.
This wasn't a brothel in Hindley Street or anything?
No, it was actually, I won't say where it was, but anyway, he smashed me all over. Very painful, very sore. Woke up the next day. You're not allowed to, we weren't allowed to go and get different sorts of treatment here.
No,
everything
no.
had to be cleared by the doctor. And then I've gone, shit, I'm going to be bruised as the next day. So I woke up. I am black all the way back on my backside, all the way on my hamstrings are all black. In those days, everyone showered in the nude all the time. And if you didn't, you either... you know, you got beaten up or you were, there was questions asked. So I was in there, couldn't hide it, but I actually jagged my glute a little bit as a result of being bashed around in the on the back. So that was one I had to sort of tell a bit of a lie there. And the other one was, yeah, I've broke my tendon in my right hand from a, up at Wakery in the off-season. You're getting in a bit of trouble.
Jaw?
But I said it was on a dip bowl.
A what?
Dip bowl.
What do you mean?
Like a dip, you know, dip and biscuit, you know, cheese and biscuits sort of.
So, a bit vicious going for the Jats, were you?
Give me that biscuit. Give me that dip.
No one believed that, surely.
Well, I got away with it. It was off season, sort of a bit quiet. I was in the advertiser on the in the sport out for 3 months with a tendon, so yeah. Robert Shaw's days,
getting
in the early 90s.
Guacamole on the Jazz.
Holy guacamole.
Holy guacamole.
Out for 3 months.
Righto, when have you lied about your injuries? 1-3-3-5-3. What?
What? When did you lie?
When did I lie? Look, very quickly, this is 1985. I trained for 2 nights at the
position
Glenelg
of
Football
the World
Club.
Championship squash ratings.
I was number two at the time, just an up-and-coming lad. And I was home for a spell. And needed to keep my fitness up. And Graham Corns said, come out and train at Glenelg for a couple of nights. Not to play footy. It wasn't bad. It was about doing some running out there. And
but you fancied yourself.
I fancied myself. I was a bit,
bit
of a
like Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah, I thought, oh, I want to join in training. Corns, he said, no. I said, no, please, please. I want to join in. I, you know, I'd love to have a kick. And they had a scratch match this night. And the first time I got the ball, I did my knee. I tore my cruciate ligament. Now, it was quite...
what are all your sponsors in that, sir?
Well, I was contracted to a very, very big company in Europe that I won't name because they're quite well known.
And they might be able to...
Time cures all this, doesn't it?
If I think 10 this, years. I think 10 years
in my
okay.
contract with them, it said something along the lines of... And you would have had this in the approach.
Yeah.
You can't do anything untoward your profession, like
exactly.
anything silly. So
water skiing.
Playing or... Aussie rules football would have come in...
Absolutely.
So I had to go back to Europe in a full plaster. Back then when you did your ACL, you had... You know, hip to knee plaster for 6 months I had.
Wow.
Couldn't move. So I was out for 18 months.
Squash career,
I was out for 18 months, and I said to them, God, you wouldn't believe it. I was home. I was running, going for a big run. Through the massive rock, massive boulder. I've gone over Turkey and done the route.
You're out running, so you're... You know.
And see, there was no internet in those days. So, you know, because it was in the papers here, but it didn't reach Munich in Germany, thankfully. Right.
So you had to load it, you got away with it.
Went for a run, you wouldn't believe it. Trying to get fitter, trying to do the right thing.
Yep. Now, that would have ruined your squash career as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, that was right at the start. I was only just coming up. So I missed 18 months and then came back.
With a knee in squash, the most brutal sport in the world, you would have lost your flexibility and everything.
Yeah, it did a little bit. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's called, well, the heart, you know, it's like Farley.
So were you worse for it or better for it?
Just fought on. I was better, came back better and stronger.
How could you be better?
No, I just did, you know, worked hard, trained hard. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Let's move on.
Get what you missed on Ruined It's for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.